Father, we give you praise. You are the great God, and you've revealed yourself just in a small way today through what you're doing in Japan. Thank you for each one here today, and that they may be encouraged, inspired by just how you are working. And all this, Father, is for really leaving a legacy of faith for all of us to be involved, whether it's through prayer, through specifically through the lives that we want to live for you today. And be with us now as we go into your word and a short message. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's really short message I have for you is on the passage that was read today. And it deals with leaving a legacy of faith. And the passage we have is in Psalms 145, 3 and 4, one of the greatest psalms. It's just a wonderful song. But we're going to focus on verse 3 and 4. So why don't we all read that together? Let's read that together. It says, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts." I want to give ask a quick survey before I move into the message. It was about 25 years ago. 25 years ago, so 1997, is that correct? Yeah, 1992, sorry. 25 years ago that we felt a call from God to go to Japan. And it was in the parking lot there that I was challenged by Dr. Honeywell. I'll never forget that. He whispered in my ear, says, Ken, says, "I'd hate to see your gifts go for the secular world." It's like, oh my gosh, what is he saying? And then I told that to Bola, and then Bola goes, "Well, you better listen to Dr. Honeywell." Okay, and then Dr. Pastor Cruz says, yeah, and then go in seminary and all that to say 25 years ago is a pretty long time, and I have memories of that. I never forget that. And I just want to have a survey for you to be involved in this survey. 25 years ago, I want to just ask, who here is 25 years and younger? Just raise your hand. All right, great. That means you were not yet born. Okay? And that's okay. That means you're young. Now, if your age is, from 26 to 40, go ahead, raise your hand. 26 to 40. Great. You were in school, remember? You were in school. What grade? I don't know. Now, if you're 40 years and over, don't raise your hand. You know who we are, okay? That's okay. But that just means part of that question is we were already in our adult life, okay? The question I want to ask you, really, also on part of the survey, the second part is, where were you 25 years ago, 1992? I just told you where I was. I was in the parking lot out there. Can you remember where you were? What city were you in? What country were you in, okay? Generally, 25 years ago. Also, can you remember what you were doing at that time? Were you in school? What grade? Working? Married? What age were your kids? Can you remember that 25 years ago? Was that too long time ago? I just try to remember that. And I remember just last night, I was with Dave and Mai and Myra, and we were looking at Pastor Cruz's, the gallery of the pictures, and I was just unbelievably struck at the memories and the pictures that were there of Pastor Cruz, and some of us are part of that, and it was just amazing to recall. The question really is, where were you, what were you doing? Do you remember? Okay? And for me, Bola and I, like I was sharing with you, we were here, right here, in this church, in the pews here, and in the parking lots, very involved at church. We were 5 years married, and this is what we looked like 25 years ago. You see the background? Guess what that background is? It's right here. I think Annika was being dedicated that time, I believe. I don't know. I don't remember that. But that's Annika actually there. And we were starting our family, and we were very involved in our careers. If you don't remember, if you don't know, Bola actually is a physical therapist, and she worked there in Burlingame. It was the old building, the old hospital there. Now it's a brand new hospital. And I was a finance manager in Foster City, and I was in management school finishing that up. And we were so involved with Seaview. I was the choir director here, and a deacon, and the young adults. It was just fantastic. And we had extremely busy lives with our careers. We were newly married and a brand new baby. And some of you might be feeling that way here today, that this is really more like how I felt, tired all the time. You know, it's like, oh, my gosh. But more than that, you see that how much hair I still had then? But as you recall, where were you 25 years ago? And how these snapshots of our life bring back memories. Again, looking at Pastor Cruz's wonderful life and his legacy there. You know, and that's great if you remember what city were you in, what life stage were you in, how old were your kids, and so forth. But the truth is, life does not stand still, does it? I wish it did. Bola would be here. Pastor would be there. Wouldn't it be nice if life stood still? But no, it doesn't. I wish we were just one snapshot. Just one snapshot. If just stand still. The good times. I remember Bola saying, holding little Annika, I wish I could freeze time and put Annika in my pocket because she was so little. Look at her 25 years now. She couldn't fit in any pocket. But, you know, the reality is life moves on, and there will always be good times, and there will be challenging times. But how often do we stop and ponder and think about what keeps us going through the years and decades? Who has helped us along life journey? And sometimes we need to stop, reflect on what's really important in life. And that's what I'd like for us to do today. And so I've realized the more important question really is not to ask where you were and what you were doing, because normally that's how we relate life, right? Where you were, what you're doing. Rather, we need to ask the more important question, which is, what is God doing in your life? What is God doing in your life? Or how are we allowing God to work in our lives? And as we try to recall the past and we step into the present and we move into the looking to the future, in the end, there's really only one important question we will all need to answer in life. Where is God in your life? And do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Is Jesus Christ your Savior and Lord? And for many of you, I know He is. But you need to know, when I grew up in Manila, Philippines, I was youngest of 9 children. I was a spoiled brat growing up. And that thinking that being famous, rich, and powerful was the answer in life. So I became an entertainer. I thought that was the way to it. And I did very well at that very young age in that field, only to find out that that was a very futile and dead-end lifestyle. I really had no meaning in life, and I was very empty, and I was dying inside my heart. Thank God that at the age of 25, someone stopped me, basically, and asked me the important question, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? And he showed me 2 passages. Of course, that was a long conversation we had. But the 2 passages, and for many of us, we know this. First one was John 3:16. Let's all read this together. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That passage struck me. For I thought I had the answers in life. But it became obvious that eternal life could only come through Jesus Christ. And that I kind of argued even, what about my good works? And then he went straight on to this. Many of you know this. This next verse in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Let's read this. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. I realized after those two passages that I was a sinner and I needed a Savior. And that believing and trusting in Jesus Christ was the answer in life. No other than Jesus Christ is the one who would give me eternal life, true joy, true peace, forgiveness of sins, and much, much more. Not the temporary applause of man, which I had every night as an entertainer, but only a relationship with Jesus Christ would give me new meaning, new purpose in life. Now, I don't know where some of you are in your life. If you're struggling with the same feeling of emptiness and futility of life, you've tried to find answer in other things and being dependent on and controlled by other things. I've been there. I've tried it all, alcohol, drugs, wrong relationships, and even doing good things. Let me tell you, these things only bring temporary relief and will not change your life. Instead of that, why not try Jesus? Amen? Believing in Jesus Christ will transform you from the inside out, and you will be born again in the Spirit, and you will have new meaning and purpose in life. After all, 2 Corinthians 2, let's read this one. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. My friend, when you search your heart, you know exactly where you are with the Lord. Only you know. And guess what? God knows your heart condition even more, and so desires to have a relationship with you right now. And so if you are looking for purpose and meaning in life, believe and receive Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord today. Let me tell you why. Because as we move into the passage, it's important as followers of Jesus Christ for us to have a lasting legacy of faith is we need to be following Jesus Christ. I want us to read again this passage. Let's read this again together. It says, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. You know, the idea of this passage is really about leaving a lasting legacy of faith. And from this short passage, I want to just bring out two responsibilities that we must prioritize in our life for us to leave a lasting legacy of faith. The first responsibility is this. It's really obvious. It's to declare the greatness of God. Great is the Lord and most worthy of what? Praise. The greatness, his greatness, no one can fathom. The psalmist, you need to understand here, is stating the obvious. God is what? Great. God is great in his love. God is great in his mercy. God is great in his justice. God is great in his creation. God is great in all the characteristics the Bible says he is. Amen? He is awesome. He is great. And this awesome and great God will impact your life and my life externally and so much more internally or intimately that we must respond. There's nothing else we can do but respond. If you're following Jesus, if you know Jesus. And what the psalmist says is that our response should be praise. It's obvious. And we know, though, that there are many ways to express praise. But here the psalmist is stating that our praise needs to be a declaration. You see that? Great is the Lord and worthy of his praise. Praise means that it's a declaration. It brings out a response. Something that's tangible, something that's visible, something that's evident. Our praise needs to be a declaration. But we don't all praise the same way. That's not what it's saying. What it's saying is we must, as God has given us our gifts, abilities, and everything else, use that to declare His greatness. Amen? And that is every decision you make, every action that you do in our lives, in your life today, will clearly point to declaring the greatness of God. We are being reminded today that the greatness of God allows us to experience God in a real and mighty way. And as a result, we must respond in praise. We must praise Him individually, but also corporately like we are today. Because again, verse 3 says, "Great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom." The second responsibility is this: to disciple the next generation. Let's read this verse together. It says, "One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts." Interestingly, the psalmist is again pointing to another obvious fact that we kind of forget. The first fact was we need to declare the greatness of God. The second fact is that we forget to stop and ponder that God designed the human race to be fruitful and to multiply. We kind of just know that. But let's see how this actually, in the whole human race, see how God is working. That we are to have offspring and children. And then the Bible, when you read the Bible, it is clearly expressed, specifically when you read those kind of what we call the boring chapters, the time to sleep chapters, the son begat this, begat this, begat that, and this son of this son of this son, the lineage that's so long, that there's meaning, deep meaning in that. That's what the Bible calls generations, that there's direct links. But it's also to be noted that when the Bible talks about generations, that it's extended to mean our spiritual children, that people you are discipling. Yes, it's the actual offspring that you have, but it also extends to those that you are discipling, whether it's in a one-on-one, or whether it's a mentoring relationship, or in a small group, or in a church as well. So you need to understand that. And so verse 4 reminds us the obvious again, that we today are a direct link from the, what, previous generation, okay? And that we today will be a direct link to the next generation. How often do we stop and think about that? Have you stopped and thought about that? Let me tell you, we will think about it today because it does make a difference. And the psalmist is reminding us this basic biblical principle. What is passed on to us from the previous generation will most likely be passed on to the next generation. And how many times in the Bible does it give us clear examples that those that did not obey God cursed the next generation? And those, contrary to that, and those who obeyed and followed God blessed the next generation, right? And so why is this important for you and I today? In our modern times, here in America, we have become the me, the I generation. And compounded to that is we want results that are instant, right now. I can't wait for the results. I need it now. And unfortunately, these two dynamics, plus others, have led us to believe that our actions today have no long-term effects, and that this selfish thinking is really destructive. Rather, it's not about us, it's about relationships, isn't it? It's really not about us. First, it's about our relationship with God, and then relationship with others. And the more we can think about that, we will realize that our decisions and actions today will actually impact the future and the future generations to come. And there are only two options we have today, when you think about that, if it's about relationships, we only have two options and two choices to live our lives today, either to disobey God or to follow God. I can't think of any other if you boil it down. And the psalmist is challenging us and telling us what direction, what choice we should make. Notice again in verse 4, it makes it clear what we should choose. It says, one generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. What did it say? They will tell of your mighty acts. They will tell. That's the generation. You and I will tell of your mighty acts. This means we must choose to follow God's way so that we can point to his mighty acts, not my works or my accomplishments, but giving all the glory, the honor, and praise to God. Amen? And so this passage is telling us, again, to briefly give it a summary, to leave a lasting legacy of faith, we need to be declaring the greatness of God and to discipling the next generation. I remember Pastor Cruz leaving a lasting legacy of faith. Oh my gosh. Can you apply that in his life? I've known Pastor Cruz 1985. How many years is that? 32 years. And if I were to apply that, everything he did in his life, I've seen, declared the greatness of God. Can you testify to that? Oh my gosh. Whether it was in church, at home, at work, that's what he did. No wonder he can leave a legacy of faith. And then discipling the next generation, if you look at pastor's life, wow. I can just look at my life, what he did in my life. The reason I'm in Japan is I had Pastor Cruz who was telling me. Maybe he wasn't thinking that. Yeah, but he did. David being here today in the pulpit. Yes, your pastor. And now you. So it's important for us to really thinking about how can we leave a lasting legacy of faith. As you reflect in your life, how can you leave a lasting legacy of faith? Again, in my case, I previously shared with you that I was so touched by God at the height of my music career that I was radically transformed. And then from Manila, Philippines, Bola and I came here to Japan. I'm sorry, not Japan. First to California. Right here in the Bay Area, to search for a new life. And we were working in our careers. We were involved in Seaview Baptist Church. And we wanted to live the American dream. And to be honest, the last thing on our minds were to be missionaries. No one wants to be. I didn't want to be a missionary. Bola doubly didn't want to be a missionary. But when God has a plan and a purpose for your life, or in our case, our life, that, like this passage did challenge us, we had a choice, either to disobey God or to follow God. Can you guess who won? Oh my. I'm so glad he won. We left our career, sure. We sold our house there in San Bruno. We sold the cars. We picked up our tent. We left all our loved ones here, all of you. We didn't leave you, but we physically did. So that we would become followers of Jesus in the plan and purpose he had for us to be missionaries in Japan. And we arrived in Japan in 1997, 20 years ago, with World Venture as missionaries there. And this is actually what we looked like 20 years ago. That's a long time ago. Luke is there and Victoria was just born. And 20 years have passed, and there have been great times, and there have been hard times. And here's one of our latest pictures. Make sure before you leave, grab one of this. This is the latest one because it's got Bola's graduation date. As you know, Bola, unexpectedly, again, we didn't plan it, but God knew, 2 years this month, was diagnosed with advanced ovarian cancer. But it was during that time, that cancer journey of 8 months, that Bola wanted to make sure that she would leave a lasting legacy of faith, that she would declare the greatness of God, and that she would also be able to disciple the next generation. Then after about 6 months of trying new surgery and chemotherapy, finally she was diagnosed as inoperable, incurable. So we had to look for a hospice doctor to care for Bola in her last days. And I remember during the time when we were sitting, Victoria and I, my youngest Victoria and I, were sitting with the of all things, in the 99.5 non-Christian nation, God gave us a hospice doctor who was a Christian in Japan. Can you imagine that? Who was married to a pastor who shared with us what I'm going to share with you today. So we shared with the pastor, sat with us and gave us an orientation. And he said, basically, this is what it means to leave a lasting legacy of faith. He shared with us a diagram. He said, here is a horizontal line which represents our life. And then there's a diagonal line that goes up. And it looked like this. That horizontal line was our life journey. And you see the diagonal line up, right? And there's that point, that circle point. That circle point really is where things are completed in our life. He said that when we talk about death, the Bible doesn't use the word like terminal cancer, terminal, or the end. Rather, the Bible always uses the word completion. That diagonal point, or where the circle is the completion of one's life. And this pastor mentioned to us that there are three things that are completed as ordained by God. The first is this, marriage. He says, until death do us part. When someone completes that life, if you are married, that is completed. Second is that person's purpose in life. In other words, Bola as a mother, Bola as a gospel singer, Bola as a physical therapist, Bola as a gospel singer. I mean, that's completed. That's done. But this is what blew me away. Remember we're talking about generations? He said the third thing that's completed is her generation. And that took me aback. What do you mean? And he further sent on. Unlike marriage, which is completed, and in other words, until death do us part, that's done. Purpose in life with Bola, that's done. The generation, it may be completed, but it actually goes on. Right? Completed for her lifestyle, her life, but it's not ended. The next offspring or the next generation steps up to the plate and carries on the responsibility. You see that? You see how that became so true in my life? And do you know what he did? This pastor, he looked at Victoria, my youngest, and said, you as the daughter of Bola, are you ready to step up to the plate? It just blew me away. So are you ready to carry whatever your mother taught you? The value systems. It's not what she had. It's not what she brought you. It's what did she give you? And the reality is we all need to ultimately deal with our mortality. And the question is, what do you want to pass on to your next generation? Whether it be yours, your children or your disciples. And as we think of the next generations that come after us, it is interesting that the answer to the question of leaving a legacy of faith does not deal with the future. Let me say that again. Leaving a legacy of faith does not deal with the future. It deals with your life now. The decisions and actions we do today is what will impact the future. And we don't stop and think about that often enough. And the problem is we get caught up easily with the wrong things, that we pass that on to the future generations. Rather, how is it that we should be doing this? That one generation will commend your works to another, and that they will tell of your mighty acts. Amen? When it's your time to go into eternity, what is the legacy you want to leave behind? And allow me to share as a final slide, and then Dave, you can come up after this one. It's a short video of Bola when she was already diagnosed as inoperable. It was her final concert, just about 6 weeks on her birthday concert, 6 weeks before she graduated to glory. In a packed crowd in downtown Tokyo Jazz Club, she still wanted to do this. It was amazing. Mostly everyone in that packed crowd, standing room only, non-Christian Japanese. And you'll hear what she has to say. And during her final concert, her final message, here is her lasting message. I hope you'll be encouraged and inspired to declare the greatness of God and to disciple the next generation.
The last 7 months of my life has been a tremendous adventure.
本当にこの7ヶ月間私にとってはすごい冒険でした。
But God never left my side.
私、神様は私のそばを離れませんでした。
And I had the pleasure of looking at Tokyo Tower.
毎晩ですね、東京タワーを見るっていうそういう楽しみもあったんですね。
Every night I was reminded that God was my strong tower.
で、本当にそれを見るたびに神様が本当に堅固な櫓、ストロングタワーだっていうことをその思い出したんです。
And that He would never leave me.
神様は決して私を離れない。
And at midnight, Tokyo Tower shuts down, でしょ？
で、真夜中には東京タワーの光がなくなっちゃうんですか？
そう。
そうですか。はい。消灯しちゃうの、すいません、知らない。
But
しかし。
God never leaves.
神様は私を決して離れない。
He never sleeps.
神様は眠ることもないんです。
He never slumbers.
で、本当にまどろむこともないんです。
He watches me during those difficult days.
本当に大変な日々でしたけれども、神様は私を見守っていてください
ました。And I'm so thankful.
本当にそれを感謝しています。
The Jesus who held my hand.
私の手を握ってくださったイエス様が、
And held me close.
そして本当に私を近くに抱いてくださったイエス様が、息ができなかった時に、神様に祈りました。次の息ができるようにしてください。その同じ神様が皆さんと共にいてください。
If you're given the stage for the last time, what would you tell people?
もしこれが最後のステージですよって言われて、そういう機会を与えられたら皆さんに何を伝えたいですか？
I want to tell you the most important thing that's in my heart.
本当に私の心の内にある一番大事なことをお伝えしたいです。
I just want to make sure that before we all leave this room that you search in your heart and really give it a good thought.
ぜひこの部屋を出る前にここにおられる方皆さんよく考えていただきたいんです。
Through these many years we have told you that God loves you.
当にこの何年もの間私たち神様があなたを愛してますよとお伝えしてきました。
He has a wonderful plan for you.
神様が皆さんに素晴らしいご計画をお持ちです。
He longs to give you abundance in this life here.
でそしてこの地上での人生に本当に豊かさを豊かな人生を与えたいと神様は思っておられます。
And the guarantee of life with him in heaven.
そして神様と共に過ごす永遠の天国を約束してくださいます。
My mother's heart longs to be with my kids.
私の母としての心は子供と一緒にいたいです。
But it seems like God had a different plan for me this last year.
でも神様違うご計画があるような感じです。
And knowing everything that He's done for me.
そして全てのことが終わったということが分かったとき、
He gave me grace to accept my future.
神様は私にそのことを受け入れる恵みを与えてくださいました。
With a heart full of thanks.
本当に感謝を持って受け入れることができた、そのような力を神様恵みによって与えてくださいました。
This next song is called I'm Amazed.
次の曲は I'm Amazed. 私は本当に驚いていますという曲です。
To this day, I am amazed that God would choose me 30 years ago.
本当に今でも私は30年前に神様が私を選んでくださったということに驚きを覚えます。
When he revealed to me my need for his son.
その神様の一人子であるイエス様が私にとって必要なんだということを私に明らかにしてくださいました。
And by grace he allowed me to accept that gift of eternal life.
恵みによって永遠の命というプレゼントを受け取ることができるように私を導いてくださいました。
By believing the finished work of Christ on the cross.
イエス様がすべて必要なことを十字架の上で成し遂げてくださったその技によってです。
And as I take the next step into completing my life here.
地上の人生を完了して次のステージに行くとき、
He promised that I will rise again too.
私もいずれイエス様と同じようによみがえるということが約束されています。
This time my body will no longer have cancer.
その時の体はもうがんに侵されることのない体です。
You make my body new.
神様が私の体を完全にしてくださいます。
Clothing is perfection.
神様のその完璧なそのか、もので覆ってくださいます。
That will be glory for me.
本当にそれが私にとっての栄光です。
I'm amazed です。 I'm amazed at the works of your
piano. You know who's playing that piano, right? That was Ken playing that piano as his wife was. I don't know how you did that, to be honest, dear. Well, I do, because it was the grace of God. It's the grace of God that enables someone to endure and to follow. Good move, Mrs. Richardson. Did you guys see that? She went over there and sat next to Ken as you're watching. Thank you for doing that. I'm going to just read some more scripture that was read earlier. they will tell of his wondrous acts to the next generation, declare his mighty, just declare his praise. What do we actually tell the next generation? What do we tell ourselves? The psalmist went, and you read this already. This is what we tell people. Or what do we tell them? We say, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand. You desire the desire of every, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. See, that's why we tell. That's why we declare his praise, because of who he is and what he's done and what he's capable of and what he wants to do in the world. We've done this in Ephesians. He's restoring, he's reconciling all things to himself, isn't he? So as we are here today and Ken's poured his heart and soul into ministry, well, we wouldn't have blamed you if you had stopped for a long time and just said, I need a couple years just to like regather, right? We would say, we understand, but the Lord wouldn't let you do that. He's given you a ministry, a life, and it's a path that is unsure ahead. And we need to pray for Ken and for Annika and Luke, who's down at Biola, and Victoria's down at Biola too, as they embark on. But here we are. We are hopefully today encouraged and inspired to take a stock of ourselves and who we are and what the rest of this day is going to count for. And when you go to work tomorrow, what's it going to count for? And when you go to school, when you go to college, what's it going to count for? Because it's not very long, right? You look remarkably the same as you did 25 years ago. But we've had our motivation, we've had our reason to give it all for Christ. I think we're still, do you guys have one more song we're going to sing together? I think we need to sing one more song. Come on up and we'll sing together. And here's the benediction I'll read now as they come up. Pastor Cruz's favorite benediction. The end of Jude. This is where it all ends up. Jude 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.